Hello, Thomas.
What's up?
We're getting close to the end of this academy, my first one. It's been awesome. And we're putting on a, not us as the cadre, but another group's putting on like a firehouse survival.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Class to kind of get them ready from that transition to recruit to probationary firefighter. Yeah. And it just got me thinking, like, what types of advice would you have for that person who is...
Ask yourself that question, because you've been the probie a lot. You were good at it. I don't know if I was that good. I mean, I did the dishes. I was, first to take out the trash, clean the station. I certainly wasn't catering to every single need.
But is that crew. So? As an officer, you've seen good ones and you've seen bad ones. What is it about the good ones that make you be like, oh yeah, this? Because right,
the good ones for sure let their actions tell their story.
So give me what you would expect from a probationary firefighter on their first day.
The first day?
Yeah. Not what you would do, because I know how you do it.
I know. I would expect them just to show up early.
What time? Let's say the shift changes at 8 o'clock.
I'd expect them just a little bit before 7. Because some of the crew arrives at 7, so you just want to be before them.
Yeah.
Or even right at the same time. I mean, you come in, you're already dressed anyways. You know, one thing that I think is a lost art is introducing yourself. Like, that's what a lot of guys are still looking for in the firehouse.
Like, they'll sit at the table. They know you're there.
Yeah. And I understand, like, it's a room full of people that you don't even know. And maybe you wait a little bit when, like, your crew is moving out. Like, you might drop stuff off in the kitchen, then go in the bay. And then when the change is already done, then come in. But I think early on, we had a new guy. And then we had somebody rove in who, you know, a 5-6 year guy, right?
Yeah.
And it's maybe 4 p.m. And all of a sudden in the middle of the kitchen, new guy goes, hey, I'm so-and-so. And everybody looks at each other like, it's 4 p.m. Like, you've been working out with this guy. You've been eating with this guy. And like, you get done with lunch. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, I'm so-and-so.
At that point, man, lean in and be like, you know, like, yeah, I introduced myself earlier. Right. Make them think they forgot.
Better late than never, I guess, but it was pretty funny.
That's like, awesome. Well,
probably, usually you introduce yourself at the beginning of the day.
You think you, as a new person, you bring something in?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
do you know, bring, like what? What's like the classic?
Well, I mean, something they could start their day off. Now that I've been in the fire service long, something they could start their day off with. I mean, you and your scones, holy cow.
Thank God for COVID, man.
Bringing some good coffee, bringing some scones, right?
Like a nice bag of coffee. And
no, like an omelet, maybe... You got to make it, you know, put some French press together.
Ooh.
You know?
I like that.
Yeah.
And don't buy shitty donuts. If you're going to bring in...
fucking Safeway.
No.
Just...
The Jewel Osco.
Oh,
no.
Man. Yeah.
That's trash.
If you're going to do it right.
If you're going to do it, do it right. Get up extra early. Get to a good place.
I think you could do pretty well if you, like, brought in a meal. You know, like, to make, you know? Like, hey, I already shot for today. I'd like to... You know, I know it's my first day, and that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Because you don't even know what you're walking into. Say that now as like a, you know, salty guy in the fire service,
yeah,
right? It's like, but, you know, that would work well with Arco. Like, damn, but you better knock it out of the park.
You better
right?
knock it out of the park, man. Because you got some good cooks on your crew.
Yeah, so.
All right.
I just think you show up early, you introduce yourself, and then there's nothing you can really do about nobody wanting to help you, like with the rig, like if nobody's out there, hopefully there's at least one guy. If you show initiative, like, hey, can you show me the truck? That's what you do, right? If they're not.
Yeah.
Hey, can you show me the truck? Can someone show me the truck? I mean, I wouldn't go, hey, you know, like a gavel and be like, attention. Who could show me the truck?
Here? I know all you guys are sitting drinking coffee because you were up 10 times last night. Yeah.
You find the guy that is one of the backseaters. Hey, can you show me the trucks?
Or, yeah.
You know? And then inevitably he'll probably ask somebody, hey, yeah, yeah, let me get the guy you're working with.
Okay, so let's say that I had this experience. You come in and they were given an order not to talk to me.
God, dude, that's so fucked up.
So,
like, I would never fucking do that to a guy.
It
like,
was the most.
You come and introduce yourself, and everybody's like,
and this was so, all right.
Shut the fuck up.
Here's what happened. This was at one of the places I worked. Coming into a firehouse brand new, right out of the academy, might be one of the most intimidating moments in your fire service career. Like, you're walking in, you have no idea what to expect.
Yeah, it's worse than the first day of the academy because
it's way worse.
You don't have anybody there with you.
Way worse.
You're the only one.
You're it.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting in my truck and I'm like, okay, I'm like trying to get myself psyched up. And we all had like a big meeting with all of the probationary firefighters that were going to stations that day for like 30 minutes. So by the time you got to the station, shift change already happened. Your crew's already kind of like starting their day. So I pull up and I'm like trying to get myself psyched up. And one of the senior firefighter comes out to my truck and he's like, hey, can I help you with your gear? Helps me with my gear. And I'm like, wow, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, totally lined me out. 4 months later, I go to this new station, right? It's where all the hitters are at. And I walk in and nobody says anything.
You're stuck with your own gear.
And so I had to carry it myself. So I go in and like I try and introduce myself and they do like these like soft handshake.
Right? That is
the limp hand.
That is actually kind of funny.
So I go out to the rig and I'm like, whoa, this is a way different experience. And no one comes out. And I put my stuff on and like just kind of looking around and I do rig checks and I walk back in like and where I used to work, like the probationary firefighter, one of your duties was to make sure that no one's coffee cup was empty. So like you would, when there was two probies there, when there was a double company house, one probie's job was to sit by the coffee maker for the entire time that the crew wanted to sit at the table. And all you did was just refill. See, so you're like a waiter.
That's what I wouldn't wait on people.
It was awful.
But I've had some Academy brothers that they did that. And I mean, it worked for them. And I mean, they're awesome dudes, great firemen. I couldn't do it.
Well,
I'll make the coffee, you know, and I'll dump it and make a new pot. But I'm not fucking pouring your coffee. You need some more? Like, are you just, you want a couple ounces to top it off? Get your own fucking coffee, man. You're a man.
Oh, man.
You're a man.
So I go in, I do that. I come back out, and I'm like, all right, I guess we're going to start mopping, right? So I start cleaning.
In early morning?
Dude, I didn't
know. Oh, okay.
I was like.
I'm going back to our station where we mop, and it doesn't make a difference.
No, you're putting dirty water on dirty floors.
Okay. All right. So you start cleaning.
I start doing that, and then we run a couple calls. They don't talk to me in the rig, and I'm like, dude, I was like in an alternate universe. And then no one talked to me at dinner. Like, I'm doing the dishes, all that. And they'll just come up and like.
Did they talk with each other during the
meal? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they're having a great time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this fucking sucks, man. This is going to be a long 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the very end of the day, I'm sitting on the tailboard and I'm studying. And when I say studying, I have my book open.
I'm just looking
at words. And I'm looking at words and I'm just like.
This sucks.
And the officer comes out. And I'm like, finally, another human being I can have some social interaction with. Because I'm like, this is fucked up. We could go on a structure fire. And like, you've given me no direction on like what's going to happen. And he's like, we wanted to see what you were going to do. And so like, that's the reason why we haven't talked to you all day. I'm like, well, this is stupid. Like, that all was right,
So
don't
Mr.
Do
officer, that. Tell me then what were my options of responses and what would that have told you about me?
Yeah,
that's
exactly what he told me.
Okay.
He's like, if you came in here and you did absolutely nothing all day, we would have known kind of like the type of person that you are. And I'm like, I see the value in that, but like what you just did to me today made me not trust
you. But if I hadn't had a stop before and I'm fresh out of the academy, like I'm new in the fire service, I have no fucking clue.
I don't
really
know
what's expected of me other than what they tell me at the academy, but it's different.
I had a chief at my first department, second department, and he brought me into the bathroom and he cleaned it.
Whoa. Greg.
No, not the shower, the bathroom.
Jesus.
And he brought me in there and he's like, this is how you do it and this is how it should be done. And I was like, great. You gave me the playbook. I will do exactly that. And he's like, this is how a rig check is done. This is blah, 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 blah. That's how you do it. But if you're a new person, I would say, yes, come in early. I think you should be there before the first person on your new crew gets there. And how you figure all that out is that after graduation, you get your station assignment, you go to that house prior to coming there for your first shift. Get all the introductions out of the way. Bring them something, you know, for that, right? Like, hey, you go around somewhat close to dinner time, you bring them dessert. Say, hey, I just want to introduce myself. Like, get a lay of the land. Get an idea of, like, when you walk through the door the first day, you have a outline of the building, right? You know where stuff's at. Yeah. Hey, here's, maybe they give you your locker.
Well, you should probably make that stop by before, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Before, okay.
Yeah, like, yeah. You make that introduction, which will make that first day feel less anxiety ridden.
Yeah.
And then, just like you said, come in, make your introductions, get out to the truck and start. Because, like, you could pop a call right away.
Yeah.
And like your main job is to know that vehicle. And then what would you say is like the most important attributes you can show that first day?
Don't quit and work hard.
That's it. Attitude
that's
and effort.
That's my expectation talk.
That's it.
If I even have to have it with some guys, which usually, you know where my expectation talk really occurs?
On the bay.
Before, yeah.
Like a workout.
Before like, we start climbing the aerial or before we enter a stairwell, like for the first time with a guy. It's like, listen, man, like we're all going to, you know, I always tell them, like everybody here might climb at different paces. Everybody here might stop on a floor or do something different. Like they're getting their shit done. We're all here together, but some people have different needs and some people have different things they do. But all anybody wants here from you while you're here, including me, is that you work hard and you don't quit. And a funny story. So we have, this was maybe like a year ago. Probably about a year ago, year maybe two, and we got this new guy at the station. Good dude, like we love him. He's still, you know, like we'd take him back anytime. He's a great guy. He's doing great, and we're doing the aerial workout, right? So the aerial workout is put the stick up, and we end up like creating stations. They're all like skill stations, so it's like you're throwing ladders each side of the station. You're dragging a partner across the bay, or you got a sled you're pulling, or you're maybe moving hose. And then you're climbing the aerial, and you do that probably usually 2 to 3 times, like through. So it's like 8 total stations, right?
Takes about like 30 to 40 minutes.
Well, this time I think we did 3 stations, but 4 times through, which was 4 aerial climbs.
Brutal.
Anytime you get to the third aerial climb, like it's like this good 4, and. So we had
taking some breaks. Yeah.
This other guy, this guy rove in. And this guy's typically, this is exactly what I don't want to see out of a kind of senior guy, is like all you do is fuck with the new guys, make their life hell, and then you don't even have thick skin yourself, you know?
Right.
That's the reputation here, is like I'm gonna screw with all the new guys, but I'm not gonna mentor them or show them I'm in their corner either, you know? You can fuck with the new guy a little bit, but like, are you his guy that he can trust, he can go to?
Right.
That's different, you know? And I go to our new guy, and I know what was going to happen here. You know, I knew that this guy who roved in was going to come in and it was going to be rough.
Yeah.
And I go to our new guy, I don't care what you do for like the next week, 2 weeks, like you can do whatever the fuck you want. As long as today during this workout, you do not quit.
Yeah.
Just keep going. And he didn't, man. And that guy who roved in
tried to quit
after 2 and then tried to get him to quit. And I was like, don't come in to this house and try to fuck up what we got going on
right here.
like the mindset and mentality we're trying to do to like instill in this person, because you can't do it. That's on a tangent a little bit I'm going, but that really pisses me off. Like when you can't do something and you try to get other people to quit with you, like,
yeah,
quit yourself. Fine. You can quit yourself. Like, good. We're going to be friends. But then when you try to get other people to quit with you to make yourself feel better,
like misery loves company.
That's a cancer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know? And so back to what we were talking about, work hard, don't give up. And he didn't give up, and it was four times.
Crushed.
We were crushed, right?
Yeah.
But he didn't. It was like, I'm good with this guy now.
Yeah.
That's all. I've seen all I need to see.
What are your thoughts on the 2 ears, 1 mouth?
I think that I want to hear something about you. So if you get asked questions, you should answer.
Yeah.
Don't plead the fifth on, I mean, sometimes I like to always ask, like, who's your favorite instructor? Yeah. I mean, like, who's your worst? Who didn't you like? You know, and honestly, the guys who can, the right answer is I liked them all and they tell me that. But then I'll give them a hard time. Like, really?
Yeah.
That's such an easy answer. The guys who can navigate that and give you an honest answer, you know, without throwing somebody under the bus. Like, I just want to see that you're real.
But your answers, like when the crews ask you a question as a new person, they don't really want to know what the answer is. I think they want to know what that's going to tell them about you.
Yeah.
So like when you do answer those questions, imagine your first year is an extended interview.
Yeah.
Like, I think this is where the nuance comes in. It's like, don't get so comfortable those first few months where, like, you're just sitting back, you look relaxed. You're in an interview for a year. Like, in that year, you will set up the rest of your career.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, I get it. It's kind of a pain in the butt. But if you want to have, and because what happens is when you are a probationary firefighter and you go from one station to the other, that crew will call the other crew and they want to know one of two things. Are you dialed or do you suck?
Yeah.
Right? Like you, that's it. Those are the only two questions, right? So if I call station whatever, 5, I'm like, hey, we're getting your new guy. What's up? You're like, he's dialed. That's all I need to hear. We can hang up the phone.
Yeah.
Or like, hey man, this dude sucks.
It's nice to have those stations to call because there's other stations that you don't even call.
Yeah. We were
just like, you can't even really trust. So you just have to start over with them, you know?
Right. But like, yeah, you should feel a little bit on edge for your entire probationary year. I think that's healthy. Mm-hmm. You should also feel like your crew is invested in you. And I think when people hear like, hey, you have 2 ears, 1 mouth, keep your mouth shut. That's not necessarily true either.
I don't think that sets a good precedent either.
No.
I mean, I get the thought process behind it, but just telling someone to keep their mouth shut, now is he going to ask questions?
Exactly.
You know, it's more like probably need to be seen more than heard.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of goes back to what I said in the beginning, like you should let your actions tell your story.
It's an apprenticeship.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's I actually think that it's a benefit to not talk. Right? You get to sit back and kind of learn who these people are. You get to observe the type of firefighter that you don't want to be and that you want to be. And the more that you sit back and not say anything, the more you learn.
Well, the more you talk to without anybody seeing it, people, you know, growing up, it's like if you sat on the sideline or in the dugout or whatever and just talk about everything you've done and, you know, nobody's seen that. Whatever, dude, you know?
Yeah, show me.
You know, I tell some guys, you know, like, you want friends on the job? You know, like, you want friends on the job? That first fire, that first extrication, first big call or whatever, go out and, like, crush it.
Yeah.
Right? You win games. You know, like, if you make big shots, you know, you make big plays, that's how you get friends.
Yeah.
You know? Like, oh, shit, okay. Let your actions, like, tell your story, and then people want to hang out with you.
Yeah. I'd say, fail with grace. Right? Like you have zero expectations as a probationary firefighter.
That is really hard as a probie though, because there are so many people still in the fire service that like the minute a probie fails, one, they aren't showing them what it looks like to do it right. and then they're immediately critiquing it. You know, like, oh, that's why you did this, this, and this. And it's like, well, dude, if you got in your gear and did the same thing, how would that look?
So,
you know,
and this goes back to like sitting back and listening and like taking in who these people are that you're surrounded with for the next however many months or however your department does it. Never take criticism from someone who you wouldn't seek advice from, right? Like if you're at a station and you're starting to feel down on yourself because you're not doing things right or you're getting critiqued too hard, you feel, take a look at the person who's doing that. Are they in their gear? Have they shown you that they can do it in the same fashion that they're expecting you to? So if, let's say you're doing forcible entry, you go out to the door prop, they're in station gear and gardening gloves, and they show you how to do this. And then they expect you to do it in full bunkers, SCBA, and tired. Well, you need to show me that you can do that if I'm going to. And so if that's the case, if they're sitting on the front bumper with your Proby book open and they're like, nope, did that wrong. Don't get frustrated. Take whatever advice that they have and then just put your head down and find somebody else.
Yep.
Like, don't get too down on yourself. Let's say that you've never had a Proby before, right? You're maybe fresh off probation, or you're that 2 to 3 5-year guy. And
easy. You just treat him like he's an academy brother.
That is maybe the best description of how you can become a senior man.
Yeah. And there you're right about that too. It's like if you have the 15 years on, treat him like you're an academy brother.
That backseater can make or break your station. Mm-hmm. And so how I like to do it was the first thing, like if I was in the bay and someone came in on their first shift, I would introduce myself and say, hey, put your stuff down and I'm going to walk you through the kitchen. Cause the kitchen to me was like, fuck dude, I just do not want to go in there. Like it is a lion's den. And so I would walk them in. I'd be like, hey, this is, you know, probationary firefighter Johnson. And then you do all the handshakes. Be like, all right, here's where your locker's going to be. You know, here are the bathrooms, whatever. I want you to meet me out at the rig in 10 minutes. And then you
just leave him out there?
And you leave him out
there. Yeah, forever.
You start throwing snowballs at him. And then you bring him through every single cabinet. You pull out every single tool and you show them how to use it.
Yeah.
Not just like fanning doors. Like, hey, extrication equipment, done. Cribbing, done. No, we're going to go through every single piece of gear. And I think that shows them that this is what's important. I'm not going to show you where the cleaning supplies are. Yeah. I'm not going to show you, you know,
but
how
Craig,
to make.
But Craig, if you don't clean a station, well, you can't be a good firefighter. the day starts with cleaning.
I was told by a officer, she was awesome. She's like, cleaning is a privilege that you have not earned yet. Like, until you show me what the rig is, we'll take care of that. Like, we know how to do that. But, like, until you show me that you are a member, right? You are a fourth or a third.
Yeah, great. You can clean a toilet, crew. But you can't run a medical call.
Yeah.
That's a problem. Great. Like, you can't throw ladders,
yeah, you
know, efficiently. Like, I don't care how much you can scrub the toilet. In fact, it'll piss me off.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, you're spending time on that?
Priorities.
You know?
Right. So set the priorities. And then towards the end of the day, the first day, and I was very grateful that you let us do this, but I would take all the blue shirts, all the backseaters, not even the engineers, no one that's promoted, and we would go into the office, we would give our expectations, and then we would ask the probie what their expectations were of us.
Yeah.
And like that to me sets the tone of.
So, you know, it's like a 360 eval, but it's more like a 360
expectation. Pre-val.
Ooh.
360 pre-val.
Did you just come up with that now?
Yeah.
We're taking a run with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the 360 pre-val.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, let's set our expectations for each other. And those can be whatever are unique to your station, right? Like other place I worked, you took the flag down and folded it every single day. And that was like an honor to do that. And so, yeah, that was part of your pre-vow, right? Like, you are expected to do these things because when you come into a station, you already add value based on your experience and your qualities and your history of performance. When you come in as a new person, you are adding no value to us right now because we don't know anything about you, right? We know that you have gotten through the academy and you have met the minimum standards. When you start to show some value to the crew by being early and, yeah, cleaning, right? That you are showing value, that you want to be here, like that, it's not a punishment that is your job. But like we tell our new guys, we will not initiate it, but we will always help you because we want you to show some initiative.
Yep.
Like, hey.
Because you need initiative your whole career.
Yeah, you need it. I mean, you need initiative so much more after probation than you do beforehand. Yeah. But the value that you're adding to us is by menial task right now because you haven't proven yourself. And then as the months pass and we see that, this person's actually really good at XYZ, then all of the other stuff kind of starts to take a back seat. And now we're inviting you to watch movies with us. You were, you know.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that if you get asked to do that, I think it's a pretty fucked up thing if you get asked to, like, you know, sit down with the crew or sit in the day room on probation and it's a trick. Like, don't offer that guy.
Dude, you're such a piece of shit.
You know, like, it's like, oh, he sat down and watched, you know, and then you take a picture and you share it with all.
Look at this guy, you know, being comfortable.
You know, and it's like, but you asked him, you know? That's going back to, like, that's the type of shit of, like, are you treating this guy like an academy brother?
It's entrapment.
Yeah. But that's a thing that I think you should strive for as a new guy is like, just try to get to that point with the guys, you know?
But it's like, how long in the academy? Let's go back to what you're saying is treat him like an academy mate. How long in the academy did it take for you to start to get comfortable and trust your academy mates?
4 to 6 weeks, maybe.
At a minimum.
Yeah.
So don't expect this new group of people that you've now entered their home, right? That is their house. You are a guest. You can't expect them to, like, trust you in any less time than it did inside the academy. Yep. Like
and you're probably going to, as much as you want them to trust you, and if you know your capabilities and you know that you belong there, you're just going to have to wait for the big calls.
That's it.
Like, they'll come and
you better be ready.
Yeah. That's the point, is be ready for that, because I mean, you got a couple shots at it, you know,
maybe.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you're there for 4 months. You might have one or two big calls.
Yep.
The other thing I want to hit on is, like, when you go to a bad call, pediatric arrest, maybe it's your first time you've ever seen a dead person. Don't think that you can't say something to somebody if it's bothering you. Now, my suggestion would be, maybe the dinner table's not the best time for it. Maybe find that one person who you feel, who it should be the senior firefighter, and be like, hey man, and if you're a good senior,
hopefully you have a senior guy that's come up to you every shift at the end and be like,
you good?
How's the day? How are things going?
Yeah.
You know, cause then that's a perfect one. I'm like, yeah, man, I've never seen it before. That really kind of fucked me up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happens though, is that we have, like, these trauma trophies, right? So, like, let's say you've been on the job for, you know, whatever, 20 years and you've seen the worst of the worst, right? You have the biggest trauma trophy in the room. And then this new guy comes in, it's the first time he's seen a dead body. And he's got a little trauma trophy and he feels like he can't say anything because he hasn't seen the nasty stuff you have. That's still the worst thing that's ever happened to you as a new guy. I'm not saying, like, open up and start bawling at the kitchen table, but, like, maybe pull someone aside if you don't have a good senior man who's going to come up to you and be like, hey, you know, off to the side, like, that kind of messed me up.
Yeah.
I'm having a hard time sleeping. Like, how do you deal with it? Right. That is a perfect way to do that. But don't think that you can't say anything just because. And then lean on your other academy mates, right? Like, for maybe the first 2 years of my time at our current department, me and my academy mates would go and have breakfast every Friday or every whatever.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's just like, hey, this is messed up, or hey, I'm getting hazed over here. And we had some people who was on your crew who had a horrific experience at another station. And like, yeah, you got to download on your academy mates.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like you get out of the academy and like these relationships are over. Like, lean on those people because they're probably going through the same thing. Maybe someone's going through something worse than you.
And sometimes you can talk people off the ledge too, you know?
Yeah. Like,
from creating the assassination list, you know?
Yeah. Just like, just, glad I called that guy.
Yeah, exactly. You know, just talking to them, letting them vent about something, then they can, okay, get through another 24 hours, you know?
Yeah. It's a tough year. It should be tough. This is a tough job.
Yeah.
And that year, if you do it correctly, will kind of make you strong. But I think if you start out with a good base, like those first few months of your probation could set you up for the rest of your career.